the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, as your rector, Father Paris announced, I am your bishop, Pierre Wayland. It's wonderful to be back here in our church. We are here today, not we, me, but the Council of Advice and I came to visit Christ the King for our May meeting. The council sets the budget of the convocation, for instance, and does other things as a standing committee of what is essentially our diocese of the convocation of churches in Europe. So it decided to, seemed like a good thing to say to Father Paris, I'd take the service today. And it being Trinity Sunday, he said, oh, please do. The story is told of a certain church where a man only came on Trinity Sunday. Not Christmas, not Easter, not Pentecost. No, Trinity Sunday. And after some years, the head usher went to him and said, sir, it seems you only come on Trinity Sunday. Is that right? He said, that's right. He said, well, does work prevent you from coming other times? No. Family issues? Nah, not really. Well, why do you only come one Sunday of the year, Trinity Sunday? He says, I love to hear the rector try to explain the Trinity again. Well, the rector's off the hook. Falls to the bishop today. Here we go. First, we're going to start with quantum physics. The Danish physicist Niels Bohr, who really threw down the bases for this type of physics, said that if you're not shocked by quantum physics, you don't really understand it. And he also said elsewhere, there is really nobody who understands quantum physics. Now, how many of you in this room right now have a smartphone with you? Smartphone. Did you remember to shut it off, by the way? This works only because of quantum physics. The electronics absolutely depend on it. It works, and nobody knows why. So to say the Trinity is not understood is perhaps not that big a reach after all, eh? Niels Bohr had a debate with Albert Einstein in 1930. Einstein did not think that quantum physics was actually real because it leads to such crazy ideas that no one can understand. And finally, in frustration, he said to Bohr, God does not throw dice. To which Bohr said, who are you, Einstein, to tell God what he can or cannot do? Which brings us back to the Trinity. The heart of the doctrine is very simple, at least to say, God is love. 1 John chapter 4. God is love, not God loves or doesn't love like me. I might love Christ the King or not. That's not what God is. God is love. Ice cream is milk. The nature of ice cream is milk. The nature or the being of God is love. Now, we all know something about love, and first of all, that it's a relation. And so the doctrine of the Trinity says that God is love because at the heart of God there are relations. And because God is love, the whole creation was created out of love. You and I have been brought into being to this very day because of love. We are this very moment, right here, right now, the beloved ones of God. And as the ultimate sign of God's love for us, God sent the Word, one of the relations of God, to become one of us, to become human, to be born of a human mother, to be a teacher and a preacher and a prophet, to be put to death, to be raised from death. This is the ultimate sign of God's love for us. Because God, who is not a creature, who is not anything in creation, God, who is the author of the universe but not a part of it, God became a creature for us. Because God can do that, because God is Trinity. God is love. And we, who had lost our way, needed Jesus to come to become our way. So as I said, the doctrine really sums up in three words, 1, 2, 3, Father, Son, Spirit, God is love. Now hold on to your hats. It gets better or more complicated. There is a word in the Xhosa language which has become part of everyday vocabulary. The word is Ubuntu. And it was introduced to the world by the former Archbishop of South Africa, Desmond Tutu. And Archbishop Desmond said that while Ubuntu really doesn't translate exactly into English, what it means is that a person is only a person because of other persons. It's how we become human. A person is a person only because of other persons. Well, think for instance, imagine a terrible story. On a desert island, a ship goes down and only a little baby is cast up on the shore. Is the baby going to survive? Yes, no? Not possible on desert island, nobody else to help baby. How about a 3-year-old? No. 10-year-old? A 15-year-old maybe, because a 15-year-old has been enough around other persons to be able to think and reason and experience and have a sense of self and where he or she comes from, and that in order to survive there are certain things that have to be done, and God willing there's enough on the desert island to keep the 15-year-old alive. But now imagine that 15-year-old has survived for 20 years and is rescued and is now 35 years old. Would you really feel comfortable inviting that person to your home overnight? What kind of person has that person become? And so, Ubuntu is part of what it means to be human. If you're a human being, you become a human being, become a person because of other persons, and there's no other way to become human. Here's where the hat part comes in. We become the image of God in creation. You'll recall the book of Genesis says, and God created them in the image of God. Male and female, he created them. The community of women and men is the image of God. And we are connected to one another. The Trinity is divine Ubuntu. The three are one because they need each other to become what they are. And therefore the image of God, to go the other way, is how we are created in the image of God, to be in relation with one another and with God. And we can't do it any other way. So we said the Word of God became one of us that we might share God's life. But it's through the Spirit of God. This is the relation in God that invites us to become part of God's life and who gives us the means to become a part of God's life. We call it the Spirit. It hovered over the chaos and brought the universe into being. The Spirit hovered over Mary and with her brought Jesus to become one of us. The Spirit hovered over his dead corpse in the tomb and brought forth the new creation, the humanity that cannot die, that we're invited to share. Baptism is what makes this happen even more strongly, even more really. The former presiding bishop, Frank Griswold, used to quote Archbishop Rowan Williams all the time. And he would say, that Williams says, baptism creates solidarities not of our own choosing. Baptism creates solidarities not of our own choosing. I mean, look at your neighbor. I mean, the person next to you. Well, I know, you can look that way. Did you pick sitting next to this person? Maybe if you're married or in love or something, or father, mother, or child. But your neighbor, what are we told to do with neighbor? Love your neighbor as what? As yourself. So the person who is me is not me without others. And baptism, therefore, reinforces this, that we have this solidarity that underlies all of humanity, but especially us who are in the body of Christ, as Paul called it, that we are very members in corporate in the body of Christ. You see, divine Ubuntu works for human beings too. And human Ubuntu is a reflection of what's going on in the heart of God. By the way, I was very intrigued to find out where Rowan Williams had said baptism creates solidarities not of his, of our own choosing, and I couldn't find it in his book, so I wrote to him and I said, where is this? And he wrote back and he said, I don't know, but it sounds like me. So you see how God, the creator of the universe, also becomes one of us and then gives us the means to accept the invitation that we become like God. We don't understand quantum physics. That's atoms and the components of atoms and stuff like that. Weak force, strong force, quarks, blah, blah. We don't get that. We don't know how it could possibly be. We can't understand the Trinity. And yet we live in it all the time. It surrounds us. It's held us up since before we were born. It will hold us up after we die. This solidarity, this Ubuntu of God and human being. What other response should we have on Trinity Sunday or any other day than, wow? Or if you prefer religious language, praise the Lord.